Blistering insight, well-researched fact, insightful comment. I'm afraid you've come to the wrong place. But welcome, because this is none other than the world-famous Leicester City Pubcast.
Good evening, Foxes fans, and welcome to the Foss Arms Public House, where it is a table for two this evening. Can only mean one thing. Tim is out and about looking for the missing 90 million, which means that my more than able, all-seeing eye sidekick, Norm, is sat next to me lapping away at Trumpwell's IPA. We have been sat outside for a while, just enjoying some of the early spring sunshine. It's got a little cold now, Norm, and we've had to come back indoors, where we're now sitting rather closely next to the fire, and you're picking away at some pork scratchings. Anyway, good evening to you, Norm.
good evening, Ken. A quite wonderful introduction. Thank you very much.
Plenty to get through this evening, not least, of course, the two results for over the week, Easter weekend. I put my teeth back in. And then, obviously, the breaking news. We're recording this on Tuesday evening, so we've got the breaking news with regards to Leicester City's pre-tax losses, and we'll be getting into that, and we'll be getting into the implications as far as we can in terms of speculating what this might mean for Leicester City. But I think, Norm, it can best described as a slightly mixed weekend, starting lunchtime Good Friday with a defeat at Ashton Gate.
Yeah, I think to call it a mixed weekend is I think that's absolutely spot on. I'm relieved after yesterday's game, I have to say, because the Bristol City game, I was, oh God, killer. I was just spitting feathers. It was, I felt I was losing the plot. I just couldn't think of anything to say. I was thinking about the pubcast, and I was thinking about what happened in the game, and I was thinking about how can I try and express how I feel about how the game's gone when I was just so angry. And luckily I have managed to calm down, which has probably been helped by rather a lot of chocolate, which is obviously one of my favorite things, along with Trumpwell's IPA. but yeah, I have to say, forgive me, I'm going to kind of skip to the end, because I was just thinking, what are we doing? You know, we seem to be like in a position where we're losing games which we should be winning. We seem to have a manager that's refusing to make substitutions, leaving things till the last minute, and then still only making a couple, and seems incapable of influencing matches. And I must say, I was really, really, really anti Enzo on Friday, and I was kind of looking at it, and I was blaming him for everything. And I was being really unreasonable, because when I then sat down and calmed down and thought about what I'd seen, I realised that whilst I think there are many things that he isn't doing right with like the substitutions and not trying to influence games and sticking to this, you know, rigid method, which frankly has worked this season. So I've got to be careful what I say, but I thought the Bristol City game and many of the games in our little challenging run, I was just thinking, you know what? If we'd scored goals when we should have done, it would be a whole different picture. And I've kind of managed to compartmentalise my crossness of it and think our greatest player of all time, in my opinion, Vardy, missed two gilt-edged opportunities. Probably argue he'd missed three, but two that he would normally have scored. And had he bagged both of those, we'd be sat here today having had a really great weekend. Out of the last four matches, we've had three wins and a draw, and we'd think, you know what, we're well and truly back on the rails rather than falling off them. But he didn't take those chances. And as you know, during the game, I spoke to Tim and I said that, you know, the bottom line is if Dakar had missed these chances, we'd have been completely on his back, you know, blaming him. But because it's Vardy, he has carte blanche to do what he likes. But the result ultimately was down to missed chances and not totally to do with how we were set up and the manager. The manager can only do so much. If the players are incapable of scoring on the pitch, we're not going to win games. And like I say, I look back at the other games we've played recently and just felt it's something that's become synonymous with us, that we're just not scoring the goals when we've created them. And when we're not scoring, that the fact that we're not creating as many chances because of the slow nature of our build-up, etc., it kind of highlights the issues that we have with regards to that. And I think that was kind of clouding my judgment, because the bottom line is we score the goals, we win the game, and it's a comfortable 2-0 away victory, and we all come home happy. And that just didn't happen. So I hope I've managed to kind of be concise and clear enough and not too emotional about it, because had we had this conversation on Friday, I'd have been shouting and screaming and just going completely mad. I mean, how do you feel about it all?
Yeah, look, I agree with what you've said, and I'm a big fan of what that sort of ethos of what you're talking about there. About had those split second moments just had a slightly different outcome, you're right, all of a sudden we're all happy and everything's good in the hood, etc. And there's no doubt. I mean, the first chance in the first half, it was just one of those. He's gone through on the angle. He slightly pulled it. No one's going to have a go at him for that.
No.
The 2 second half chances, you're quite right, Norm. The chances that when they're... You're just waiting for the net to bulge.
Yeah.
And he's normally so good that even if he misses one, he's going to bag the second. So it's very unlike him. I'm with you on that. My concern is I just felt all the way through the game that it was a stuttering performance.
Yeah.
On a team that was just lacking a little bit of confidence. And again, just when you looked down, once again, not the first time this season, because I'll tell you what, it was a great strike to beat us. How many great goals have gone in against Leicester, by the way?
Quite a lot.
do you know what I mean? It's almost whoa, whoa. But, you know, well, let's work on the basis that you create your own luck. So, okay, not great. But then I suppose what we were saying is that there was huge pressure for the Norwich game. And then obviously we went a goal down. Take me through your views on the Norwich game, mate.
Look, I thought that I was really impressed with us against Norwich. I thought we were unlucky to go a goal down. I thought that I think it was Ben Nelson there, number 6, was, you know, frankly manhandled KDH away from the near post. I can't believe KDH wasn't appealing for a foul. I thought it was a well worked corner, but I don't think Norwich really causes many problems. I thought it was the first time in a long time I've seen it. I've genuinely felt fairly comfortable that we were going to go on and win a game. And I thought we played well, and I thought they kept it calm. And because we'd gone a goal down, it could have gone horrible. Now, they scored. You just suddenly think, you know, this wasn't part of the script. There's a danger here, but that danger never arose. And from the moment we scored, it looked like we could have scored. You know, we could have scored again. I thought the wingers played well. I thought Doyle was outstanding. I thought he probably had his best game in a Leicester shirt, if I'm honest. I thought we defended well. I don't think we gave up many chances that we have done in previous games. I thought we looked like we were creating stuff. I thought we were getting crosses in. I thought we were on the ball. I thought the players looked, you know, really at the races. I thought they were really up for it, which they needed to be. I think it was a great, great second goal for Mavadidi. I thought he took it really well. Maybe slightly fortuitous that it hit his left foot, but a wonderful finish to spot the gap and curl it like he did.
Not the first time this season. He's got some really good quality goals under his belt, hasn't he, mate?
He has, and it was a great, great finish, a great weight off the team's shoulders, a great weight off the crowd's shoulders. There was a noticeable shift in mood in the crowd when we scored, which I don't completely condone. I mean, obviously, I want us to be positive. I mean, I'd just like us to be a bit more positive all the time. I think it felt there was a lot of ironic cheering when the ball was getting passed out to Fatawu. So I think we've got to be a little bit careful. You know, we've got to be back the team. But all in all, there was a shift there in the crowd. It was only when we scored the second goal, where I felt we'd kind of reverted a little to type, where suddenly from being absolutely dominant, that it kind of thought, you know what, we're winning now. Well, let's let Norwich back into it a little bit. And I thought Norwich had their best period for like 10 or 15 minutes after we'd taken the lead, but never really threatened. I just thought we took the foot off the gas. And I just, at that moment, I was just thinking of, you know, Leeds and Ipswich, and now particularly Ipswich, how they just go for it. And I thought, look, let's just kill the game. We just need to kill the game. I don't want to be going into the last few minutes hanging on. And of course, at 2-1, there's always a danger. But fortunately, you know, this time the luck was with us, and we got a deserved third, which just allowed us to enjoy the last couple of minutes of injury time for what I thought was one of, I would argue, our most important win of the season. Because had we not won that, I mean, obviously at the time we didn't know what was happening later on, but what that did do was meant that having played the same games, of course, as Leeds and Ipswich at that point, we were top of the table. So I think that psychologically, it was a massive, massive, massive game to come back from a goal down, to show the character, to win it so well against a team that was third from the top of the form table, where we were third bottom, and going into, I mean, I'm loath to say this, but I'm going to say it, going into a run of fixtures in our next three games, which are very, very winnable. In fact, we should be winning the next three games. It could be a season defining win against Norwich. So I was, you know, in stark contrast to the Friday debacle against Bristol City, it was just a completely different team that showed up. Passion, desire, got the goals. And I don't know whether you noticed, I mean, I didn't notice so much at the game, but when I watched the highlights again, I love it when the players are jumping off the bench. And, you know, when we scored that third, you know, Winks went charging off one way, Vardy was off the other way, Enzo Maresco charged off the bench, Mavadidi and Fatawu and Ndidi were on the pitch jumping on Maresco. It was, you could see how much it meant. And I, for me, that's given me huge, huge confidence moving forward, because it shows that they are united as a team. And I think it will prove to be the turning point. It was great, a great performance.
Well, let's hope so. It doesn't bear thinking about what the mood on this show would have been this evening if we'd lost that Norwich game. And obviously the league would have made pretty bad reading as well. And let's not forget, we'll go back to the league. We're a game behind. We've got a game on Ipswich and Leeds. What the reality of it is, we're still bookmakers' favourites. As you say, Norm, you look at the running, and even the sort of the trickier games that we've got against Southampton and West Brom, they're at home.
Yeah.
Blackburn at home, last game of the season. You've got to fancy that. Everything else is pretty winnable. Of course, we don't get 100% run-ins, because that just never happens. But I think we've definitely got the opportunity for 18, 19 points. Would that be reasonable?
Absolutely. And you'd hope that'd be enough to secure promotion. I don't think any of the teams are going to win every single game going in the running. Obviously what we've got to do is just be better than one of the other two to get promotion. I mean, it was very annoying to see Ipswich score fundamentally with the last kick of the game and then Leeds leave it so late against Hull. So there's elements of frustration and disappointment there. It's kind of just took the shine a little bit off a good day. But, you know, these things are going to happen. I would imagine before the season's out, we're going to score a late winner that's going to disappoint those guys. So what goes around comes around. And let's just, like you said, let's just hope that we can get enough points on the board. And particularly with the next three games, I think if we can get good results in all of those, then we're gonna put the pressure on.
And I can't remember a team that has ever scored more late goals in a season than Ipswich, to the point where I looked it up tonight. They've scored 84 goals. They've scored 25 of them after the 79th minute.
That's incredible, isn't
that
it?
That is an absolutely incredible stat. You're talking about, what, almost a third of their goals? But whereas we've actually scored quite a few late goals, you'll tend to find that we've might have scored a couple of late ones against Blackburn. We got a late one, didn't we? Against Norwich, for instance. They've kind of sealed wins. I may, if I have a spare half an hour, look into that Ipswich stat. I get the feeling that in terms of points won from 80 minutes, it will be a quite astonishing amount. But take the hat off to them. They're a promoted club. They've spent very little money. What's going on there is beyond belief, really. It doesn't really happen. You tend to find that the promoted clubs who come up tend to struggle a little bit. And they're doing incredibly well. So all power to them. So, yeah, it's going to be a really, really, really interesting running. And obviously, listen in here, folks, and we will talk you through exactly how it's all going to unfold. Now, onto other matters. onto other matters, Norm. And, of course, we don't want to take this.
It was going to be a good show.
it was going to be a good show. Now, of course, there was a lot of talk. That the Leicester City financial announcement wasn't going to be too healthy, Norm.
No.
I don't know whether or not you could brace yourself for the 90 million loss that they're posted. And almost laughably, where you're allowed, I think it's 105 million over 3 years, we're going to post 215 million over the 3 year period. I don't know. What's your initial thoughts on it, Norm? I mean, obviously, it's just come out literally half an hour before this show's recorded. BBC breaking news, Sky breaking news. We know Forest have been deducted points for much less. Everton have been deducted points for much less. What on earth's going on? What on earth's going to happen?
The answer to that is I've got absolutely no idea, apart from what I can answer is the way it made me feel. And it made me feel a little bit sick. I thought to myself that, you know, that's a lot of money in a season. And apparently the reason that they delayed the releasing of the figures was to enable the Madison sale to be incorporated within that. So it could have been worse. But what I did do, I didn't realise that the total loss was, did you say 215 million?
So 215 over the three-year rolling period, yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, by being in the division, the championship, of course, that, you know, for a season, that this 89.7 is going to be incorporated with a season when we're only allowed the 15 million instead of the 35 as well. So, moving forward, it's not great. I mean, as I understand it, it's not something that, you know, it's not the club isn't in danger. It's just obviously in danger of getting, I suspect, a more hefty points penalty than anyone else has received. Unless, of course, our wonderful lawyer can manage to win a case by suggesting that it's all basically the only way out of this is by demonstrating that financial fair play isn't financially fair and therefore is illegal and therefore we won't get any points deducted and everything will be okay. I suspect that's a long shot, but you never know. What one positive I did try and take from it, Killer, was I was thinking when they talked about the Madison sale, I thought, well, we did get about 40 million for Harvey Barnes, who is a homegrown player and isn't involved in those figures. So I was thinking that's like a 40 million kind of profit in the next set of, you know, to offset against other losses in the next set of results. So I was thinking that maybe moving forward, you know, we've hit rock bottom and we can kind of steady the ship and kind of be okay, but I suspect it's going to mean some, irrespective of which division we're in, there's going to need to be a bit of a bit of a think, isn't there, in the summer with regards to how we go about our business and what business we can conduct without putting ourselves at risk to fundamentally continually find ourselves having points deductions whichever division we're in, because you know we can't live like that.
No, absolutely, that's my worry. My worry is twofold. My worry is that we start the season, we have 8 to 10 points deducted, we're in the Premier League. Let's be honest, that's good night, Vienna, from the start. I don't think you're going to crawl back. And actually, I just think it's a bit like the Everton situation. I think eventually that just takes the backside out of your football club and you end up just losing the will to live. So I think that is concern number one. That pretty much guarantee relegation. In which case, does the club almost just buy nobody, take the relegation, go down, bank the money, try and get a financial stronghold on the football club and see if we can bounce back the year after. Here's the really interesting thing is, though, Norm, and I just want your view on this. Of the players that were playing yesterday against Norwich, Vestergaard's out of contract. So you would imagine if you were Susan Whelan now, you're going to be thinking to yourself, the people that are out of contract, we might have to get shot of all of them. Okay?
Yeah.
So who we had yesterday, we had Vestergaard out of contract. Jamie Vardy out of contract. Wilf Ndidi out of contract. It could be, but we've got to cut all three away. Let's just go, there is no contract offer. Or a contract offer that's so derisory, all three walk. On top of that, in terms of the people that played, Callum Doyle, it looks a long shot now that we would be signing him, I think. The worry for me, the real worry, is for Tawu. Apparently, he's got this clause of 13 million, and all of a sudden, you start thinking to yourself, could we afford him? Who can we offload? Then we've got players like Harry Suter. What do we do with him? And I just look at the core of that Leicester City team that played yesterday and think to myself, blimey, even if we go up, God only knows what that starting 11 is going to look like for the first game.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that if we go up, we've obviously, just because you've got some issues, like I say, the fact that Barnes's money comes into the next season, I don't think it's something that means we can't sign some players. I'm not saying that we would completely rule out signing for Tawu. I mean, what's a shame is that, players like Ndidi and Vestergaard, we won't get anything for. You know, if we let them go or they wanted to go, there's nothing coming back into the into the club for that, which is a shame. I think it's clearly going to be a huge challenge, but I'm not ruling out keeping certain players. But obviously, the ones that make the money and that can help balance the books are players like KDH, aren't they?
Yeah.
The young lads that have come through the system, or we've not bought for a huge amount of money, but we're able to sell on for a profit of which, frankly, I don't think there are that many apart from him. So I think you're right. What you alluded to at the beginning is, if we got an 8, 9, 10 point deduction and the club felt that, you know, as getting the equivalent of 46, 47 points, which is probably what you'd need to stay up, 45, 46 points, then I think actually, you know, having a season, like you said, where it is a rebuilding process, you are taking the gamble of going back down to come back up stronger because of, you know, the way that you've managed things, then I kind of understand that, because there's no point getting ourselves into, whatever we do, we mustn't get ourselves in this mess.
100%.
Again, 100%. That is the bottom line. So whichever way whichever way the cookie crumbles, it's got to be looking at the club moving forward. And I think you're right. I think that they'll have to take a short-term negative view that It's going to be difficult. We'll do our best, but actually, the best result is that we sort ourselves out, start again, and we will come up next season. We will be okay, and then take it from there. The question for me, Killer, is people like Whelan, Rudkin, and I'm afraid to say this, Top, are these now the people that we want running this football club? Because what Top, and well, particularly his dad have done for this club, we know is incredible. And I would never have a bad word said against the bloke, but the club is very different under his stewardship. I know we've had lots of challenges, but it's changed. And it isn't being run like it used to be. I mean, Brighton today have posted profits of 122 million. Yeah. I mean, that we used to be Brighton. And that in the space of less than 10 years is a little bit frightening how quickly it's unraveled to being, frankly, utterly shambolic from top to bottom. And it worries me that we've got the right people to make the right decisions. Top's got to do some really big thinking here. And I know he likes these guys and they're friends and they're in other businesses. I just wonder whether we need just literally a fresh start.
Yeah, I agree with you. Look, I mean, I've read Susan Whelan's statement and I get it. And I do get it. That she's effectively said that we had a business plan and operating costs that were based around us being a top eight Premier League football club, which is what we were. And then all of a sudden, obviously, the club has plummeted from nowhere, caught catching us up. And I get that, because I think had we plummeted, had we posted today a profit, and Susan Whelan turned around and went, well, yeah, we've got a profit because actually we worked on the basis that we might get relegated, we'd all be spitting feathers on this show. Yeah. We've had that the whole of the city. So I get that. But if we go back to mistakes, there's no doubt at all that the Brendan Rodgers, hanging on to Brendan Rodgers, and by the way, there is a rumour. There is like a head in the Leicester City accounts. There's like a column with some name on it, which kind of doesn't mean anything. And they reckon that could be the Rodgers and his coaching staff payoff. And it's 31 million. Now, I don't know whether or not all 31 million went to Rodgers and his coaching staff, but it does seem funny that number is in there somewhere. I suspect maybe Dean Smith might have had some. I don't know. But all I do know is Rodgers was on obviously a massive salary for a club of the size of Leicester City. And when it came to having to sack him, obviously we procrastinated over it. I suspect mainly because of the payoff, but we've sacked him anyway. The reality of it is we sacked him too late. The damage was done. And we all know, and we've talked on this show many, many times, that actually, if somebody with half a brain had come into that football club and realised straight away at the time that we didn't have a Premier League goalkeeper, that we didn't have a Premier League centre-back, you could have literally just done two or three things, and we know full well this team would have stayed up. And obviously, the conversation is different. But
yeah,
the annoying thing is, Norm, whatever happens, this... I mean, OK, what's going to happen, Norm, if we don't go up?
Well, I suspect if we don't go up, then we find ourselves languishing in the Championship for a lot longer than we would have expected to. I think it'd be playoffs at best next season. I think we'd definitely lose the majority of our players. And I think that there'd be an argument to say that a good season would not be going down next year.
Yeah,
I think this puts... means getting promoted this year for the stability of the club is an absolute must. It's not just a nice to have now. It's a, we have got to go up to stand a chance of being able to rebuild at a what we as fans would consider an acceptable rate. Otherwise, it's going to be, frankly, it's going to be just like starting again, like we were 15 years ago, you know, in Division One. I mean, the other thing, Killy, I mean, the other thing that we've missed here, I think, the last game of the season, two seasons on the trot, we didn't get into the Champions League. Had we got into the Champions League on one of those seasons, we wouldn't be talking now about this, would we?
No.
You know, the riches that being in that elite competition would have brought us would have sorted us out. The fact that we had a season where we didn't sell anyone to try and kick on, it was a gamble that ultimately hasn't paid off. Because had we got 40 million for Tielemans, again, we'd be... When you look at things like that, it's small things in many ways, isn't it? There's just little,
yeah.
Well, massive things, but it's like we've just talked about missing goals that change, you know, that change games. There's a few things, have they just gone slightly differently? You know, one point here, I sold a player there, you know, managed to get money for that. Then all of a sudden, everything's very, very different. So it's not like they've made necessarily huge mistakes. It's just that the timing of everything is kind of like snowballed into this catastrophic financial disaster.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we know that top level sport is won or lost by inches and won or lost by the timing of timing of your decisions. Interesting thing is, if you just cast your eye over the Championship and you start looking at some of the football clubs in there, Blackburn Rovers, previous Premier League winners, yeah. used to have the best striker in the world playing up front for them. Now that they're right down there on the brink of relegation, have been in the Championship for yonks. You scroll down a bit further, Leeds United, obviously Champions League semi-finalists back in the day. I don't know if they won the Prem, or it was the season before. Obviously, they've been up and down since then, spent some time in the third tier, so we know what can happen there. Queen's Park Rangers, do you remember when they went and spent all that money?
Yeah.
And yeah, all of a sudden, they got themselves in a financial mess. Look at the state they're in now. They would snap your hand off now just to be called a Championship team next season.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
You know, Sheffield Wednesday, you know, again, we remember the days where Trevor Francis was at the club, Hillsborough was full every week, they were getting to cup finals and stuff. When was the last time they set foot in the Premier League? Where's the days of Paolo Di Canio pushing refs over wearing a blue and white shirt there? Long gone. Sunderland, another team, have had a miserable time of it. Why? Because they got the finances wrong. It's as simple as that. You just worry, don't you, mate?
Yeah, you do. But I'm just going to call you to order. It's not 90 million. It's 89.7. So can we please... Yeah. Not exaggerating.
Don't want to exaggerate it. The last number I'm going to raise on this show tonight with regard to the financials is, and this is quite a staggering one, we're 38 million down in terms of our revenue in the last season we had in the Prem. That's quite a lot, isn't it?
That's a huge amount.
You know, that nearly 40 million. So all of a sudden, you're 40 million down in just in terms of revenue. You have to pay Brendan Rodgers and his cronies. Let's call it 20 million of that 31 million. Well, there's 50. You're not able to put the Barnes deal on because it's too late. So, yeah. But the problem with the Premier League, and the problem that we're not going to be the only club that has this issue.
No,
the problem's going to be is if you want to compete, you've got to spend a fortune.
Yeah, exactly.
Ask Everton for details of that. Ask Nottingham Forest for details of that. I just wonder whether or not you're better off doing a Luton. Go up, have a bit of fun, and if you go down, don't worry about it. We've banked a load of money. We might be able to even pay for that to have another tier put on that stand that holds about 14 people.
I mean, and you know what? That might be... The saving grace in all of this might well be, I mean, Chelsea are going to get into a world of trouble.
Yeah.
Man City, obviously, I mean, all their charges are kind of before what's going on now. But I suspect that there's, I bet the bottom line is 50% of the Premier League teams are in danger potentially of breaking these rules if they tried to buy some decent players, which is why the transfer windows have been a lot quieter. You know, clubs weren't seen like gambling because they realised all of a sudden that the threat of, you know, for years it's been financial penalties and no one's cared. All of a sudden points deductions. It's like, oh, no, we're not buying that player then now. And what's going to happen is that teams are going to be, certainly at the bottom, are going to be quieter in the transfer window, and therefore there might well be a little bit of a levelling of the playing field between the bottom of the Premier League and the top of the Championship, where there'll be many teams doing, you know, a season in the Premier League, season back down, pop up again, another two seasons in the Championship. I wonder whether something like that will happen, which I don't want that to happen, because all that's going to show is that the teams at the top are going to be getting bigger and bigger and going further and further away. Again, like we've discussed before, which is exactly the opposite of what financial fair play was meant to try and accomplish.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And which is why I hope, beyond all hope, that we actually win our case and financial fair play is, you know, it goes. At the end of the day, there's not another business, is there, that where you're not allowed to invest if you want to. I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah. So, yeah. Ugh, horrible.
Absolutely. Okay, well, look, let's take the optimism of the Norwich game, Norm.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And let's just dump that into our next fixture, which you're now going to review. Birmingham City at home Saturday afternoon.
Well, I mean, Birmingham City. we have our problems, don't we? I mean, and we've just got 89.7, and as you say, let's 90 million problems of them as of today, and a few more. I was thinking about Birmingham today, and I was thinking, knowing this kind of question was going to come up from you, Killer, and I thought, when they decided in their, you know, wisdom that Wayne Rooney was going to be the right man for the job, they were in the playoff places in the Championship. The fans never wanted Eustace gone. The fans never wanted Wayne Rooney. And I remember having a conversation with you and Tim on the show at that point. I said, you know, actually, with what they've done to a good manager who's doing a good job to get a name in, I really hope they go down. And I really hope they go down. And I hope that on Saturday we put on the kind of performance we did against Norwich with passion and belief and put them to the sword, because that's what they deserve. And I think they're in free fall. I think they're a complete mess. Obviously, Mowbray went in to try and sort things out, but I mean, bless him, he's not well. It's not his fault. He's a good man and a good manager. Nothing against him, but if there's a home game or a game for the rest of the season that I want to win and feel that they cannot beat us, that they are a mess, they're struggling, I do not see how they can come to King Power with any thoughts of getting anything from the game. And I know I've said this before, I would have come up and stuck, but they just haven't got the players to match us. And if we go for it and if we play well, or even if we don't play well, I think this should be, out of all our remaining games, this should be the most likely 3 points that we will get. And the players should be licking their lips and getting excited about being part of another really good home win to give us some confidence moving to a couple of away games.
Well, I hope you're right. They did win, of course, their last game with Gary Rowett back in charge. So they did beat the quite hapless Preston. I'd love to know what on earth's happened to them, by the way, this season, after such a strong
game. I know.
It's quite astonishing, isn't it, really? They're actually eighth now. But anyway, okay, so we're confident of Birmingham, a good result against Birmingham. So with that, let's go on to the predictor table. Over to Noor.
Right, well, okay. So moving into the Easter weekend, Killer, having predicted the correct score a week ago, was on 39, Tim on 38, and I was on 35. No change after the Bristol City game, because we all predicted Leicester wins, and of course Bristol City decided to spoil that for us. But me and Killer did predict wins for the Foxes. 3-2 against Norwich. Killer went 3-2. I went for 2-1. So we both did get the result correct. So we get a point each. Tim rather negatively went for a draw, as he does occasionally. So the current standings are Killer maintains his lead. In fact, extends his lead to 40. Tim on 38. I catch up a point to Tim on 36. So it's, you know, it's a close run thing. I have Tim's prediction, and for once he's been a little bit more positive.
Good.
And he will probably also forgetting that Gary Rowett's now in charge of Birmingham and is a much better manager than I'm slightly less confident. Tim has gone for a 3-0 victory, Killer, for the Foxes against Birmingham. What about yourself? What do you fancy?
3-1. I think we're always good to concede one.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Killer. And I'm therefore going to have Birmingham score one. But I am very, very confident. And I think we're going to put 5 past Birmingham. I'm going for a 5-1 Leicester City victory.
5-1 Leicester City. Goodness gracious. Well, that really would be. That really would be good news. And what a welcome win that would be. Right. OK, indeed. Well, if you do want to get in touch with us, listeners, and thank you for listening. Figures are excellent as ever. Do get hold of us on leicestercitypodcast@gmail.com. Always nice to hear from you, and we shall endeavour to read out any comments, provided, obviously, they don't contain the usual expletives that we occasionally get. But final thoughts, Norm?
My final thought this week is... It's just simply... It was going to be something more positive, but get your house in order, Leicester. Please, we love this club. Please sort out your finances.
Love it. I think my final thought is, Enzo, what was wrong with a grey beard? What's he done? It was like he's wearing a joke beard or something. He's sort of like just been very happy sporting that pep grey beard. And all of a sudden, it's dark black. It's like Peter Sutcliffe.
I know this was meant to be the end of the. This was meant to be the end of the show, but maybe superstitious. Maybe we'll be seeing this darker beard now. We've emerged from a game victorious. Perhaps his beard will see us to promotion, Killer.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. Okay. Well. We'll leave you with that thought. Enzo's beard. If you're sporting a grey beard and listening to this, maybe it's time to get a bit of Grecian 2000 on it. Get the Enzo look. See if it changes your fortunes. Thanks for listening, everybody. Speak to you next week.
Thanks for listening, everyone. If you enjoyed the Leicester City Pubcast, please subscribe and tell everyone about it. If you hated the Leicester City Pubcast, please keep it to yourselves. See you next week.